back to that big day. Girls, it was the day that you had planned from the time you were about 4 years old. When you would wear that big white dress, you would be the princess of the day. This is the one that was designed for women. And for some of you, that day is a long time ago. For some of you, it wasn't that long ago.
For me, it was just like yesterday.
Oh, I remember that day. And leading up to it was so much work, but it was fun. The day came, and I was at the back of the church. My dad was going to walk me in, and I had a hold of his arm. I remember walking to the back of the sanctuary and looking out over the backs of all the heads of the people there as they were watching the bridesmaids come in, and thinking, every person here is here because of me. Then I looked up to the front and saw Dave standing there smiling at me. Oh yeah, him too, but mostly me. And it was just such a wonderful day to know that this is the beginning of the rest of my life with Dave. We walked down the aisle, and Dave came down and met us.
What Donalyn didn't know was that she was the only one, actually, of the wedding party and ministers, that she was the only one that didn't know that I'd written a song for her. And when she got to the front of the aisle, I sang, I'll give you just a verse or so, but went like this. Oh God, I praise you now for her, my bride. Today, forever, she'll be by my side. I cannot thank you, Lord, enough, for she's so real to me. I praise you now because of you, it's for eternity. Remember 1974, that was the tune of the day. Well, it was really cool because I was so relieved. I made it through without crying and losing it. I didn't forget a word. I just, oh, I made it, thank God.
And I couldn't believe he would surprise me like that. I mean, it was wonderful, but at the same time, it's like, don't cry, don't cry. Blink, 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 look up, blink, blink, blink. You know, I did not want to mess the masterpiece.
Wreck your makeup, I know.
I know, it took forever that day, and it was perfect. But so we get to the front, and we go to say our vows. And Dave is first.
Well, remember, I was so worried about memorizing and getting all these words right, you know, and not screwing up and not crying to screw up the song. Then when I got to the vows, which we'd written together and they were identical, I forgot them totally. Totally, 100%. But you know me, I'm very extemporaneous. So I just winged my vows. I just went for it. And everybody's going, wow, what beautiful vows. But I made them up on the fly.
And I'm going, what is he saying? I don't remember any of those words. Okay, I don't know where my first words are anymore. Now I totally forgot my vows, and I didn't know what to do. I kind of was panicking inside. I have no idea what he said in his vows. All I know is it was not the right words. And so it came my turn, and I don't wing it. So I froze, and good thing the pastor had the words there, and he said them, and I repeated them. So it wasn't nearly as flawless for me. But we made it through, and we made it through our vows. We committed ourselves to each other for life. Dave gave me a ring. I gave him a ring. And this was a symbol of our faithfulness to each other forever. And then we went and lit the unity candle.
The unity candle. Two become one. Fusion, two to one.
Oh, look at this. To become one.
And I thought it was such a neat symbol, to become one. We will do everything in life together now. We will always agree. We will be side by side, and our life will be just so harmonious.
And I'm thinking, this is it? This is supposed to represent our two becoming one, like two becoming one flesh. I know what that means. I've been waiting for a few years to get to this night. You know, the bachelor prayer, Jesus, please don't come until after the honeymoon. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking, my goodness, if this here, this little flickering flame, that if the wind is wrong, it might even blow it out. This flickering flame is supposed to represent our sexual prowess. How lame. I mean, if you're not careful, it's gone. It's over. It's done. What a pathetic symbol. I got to thinking about that. I said, there's got to be a better way to do this symbolization stuff. I mean, really, like if we're going to have something that represents two becoming one, we got to get something that really has some flame to it. So I got to thinking about this, and this is something that's happened. You may not have really seen this in Canada yet, or in the U.S. yet, but it's taking Canada by storm. Because I'll tell you what, not only is there a little bit of power behind this thing that's going to last a lifetime, but it is hot. And watch how when these two come together, look at that, they come right together. Oh my, oh my. And you know what? It is really hot there.
How do you know?
Because three times I burned myself. But yeah, I don't put it in anymore. I just talk about it. But
Just relax. Don't jump.
I'm having fun here, okay? Because you see, this is cool because these two hot flames come together. And now that's what I'm talking about. More weddings should have. This is the symbol. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. It's a lot better. There's a little tank, a little action, a little heat, and a little passion.
Girls, keep planning the weddings, okay?
I don't know. Two become one looks pretty good to me. All righty. Well, let's think about it this way. Let's have a few more lights. And if you want the secret of having two become one, the butane torch style, you just ask me and I'll give you all the tips. So keep that in mind. We want to go on from there. Oh, by the way, let's go quickly to that slide. Oh, my, he's running all over the poor guy. He's got lights going and everything, but just want to jump into just a couple things as we go into this talk. One click ahead would be great joy if you can. Perfect. A couple things I just want you to know of. This sheet that we're just going to fire around here to give you another opportunity to sign. There's a monthly e-zine. Marriage and Family Tips come every month. Delete once you look at it. No big deal. It's just they're really short. Also, ministry updates that come about once every 6 weeks. There's about 15 of you that have been getting them since we were here last time. Appreciate your prayer support. There's a phone app, Doing Family Right. Simply go to your Android or iPhone store to get the app. I tell you all this because we're not done with you. We can help you more and more. There's so many different ways that we support marriages, right? Mm-hmm. We have daily marriage and family tips that go out to over 3,000 people now, every day. You can get it on Twitter or Facebook. There's the website there, doingfamilyright.com, the hub base for everything. Podcasts, we have over 40 podcasts, which are 40-minute programs where I'm on every show. I have a co-host, Dolan's on about one in five shows. The former TV show I have is now on our website. Video answers, there's 490-second answers by all of North America's best experts in the field of marriage and family that were on my TV show. Ask Dr. Dave if you want to ask me questions directly. And you can even check in there about maybe us coming to your church community and helping out in marriage and family in your area. So that was just a reminder. We'll just pass this around. And if you want to sign up to that and get that monthly, we'll just go like that and just pass it around. All right. That being said, let's go, babe. Let's talk about this. Where are we at?
All right. We're going to talk about recognizing the power of sexual combustion, how that plays in your marriage.
Yeah. So next slide would be great. Awesome. Recognizing the power of sexual illness. Within marriage, the flames between you, those butane flames, all right, those propane torch flames there, the flames between you are designed to do three things. Three things. Number one, to be mutually celebrated, just between the two of you, mutually celebrated. Both are to enjoy intimacy equally. The satisfaction level is supposed to go up for both husband and wife. It's not a male-dominated society. Unfortunately, in the mid-50s, when the whole Playboy penthouse world exploded into our society some 65 years ago, it started to more and more and more and more make it more of a male-dominated thing, and women are supposed to simply comply with men's whims and wishes. And I want you to know something, that's not God's intent. We have to learn to be great lovers, and why not get it all? Why not go to the grave as we're having enjoyed all that you can between husband and wife and having that mutual desire to really please each other? I love what it says in Genesis 2:24. That's why a man leaves his father and mother, united to his wife. The two become one flesh. And Adam and Eve were both naked. They felt no shame. There's something precious about the two of them coming together as one. They were naked and they felt no shame. That's a healthy intimacy as God intended.
Also part of that power of the sexual combustion is that it should be deeply captivating. There should be something about the physical intimacy between you that draws you back for more. It keeps bringing you two together. It keeps uniting you like nothing else can. But men and women are captivated differently. We have to make that difference here.
There needs to be this mutual and growing enjoyment versus a fading disinterest between you. You know, when your sex life is good, it actually draws you back for more. Remember, marriage is the only place where you're supposed to fuel this sexual power. We'll talk about that later. Now, men and women are pleased differently, are sexually different creatures, correct?
You think, yes.
Yes. I think so. So men are kind of what I call in the box. They're locked in. Like, I mean, there could be a train going through the bedroom, and they'd say, what train, right? I mean, they love more variety, and they really want to be wanted.
And women are more holistic. Remember the brain? Everything is connected.
Everything.
Yes. And everything, because it's connected, we need the security of love. We want to be valued, and that plays such a big part in being able to be free to give physically.
Exactly. And men love fragrance, and women what?
We want you to smell good. Yeah.
We don't want you to smell. That's right. Men are visually stimulated.
And women are touch stimulated.
Men really want their wife to be engaged with them.
And women generally want their men to be patient with them. It's not bing, bang, boom.
Well, there you go. You've heard it here. They love motion and action, men do.
And women love the tender engagement.
It's really work for men to go slow often.
And it's work for women to go fast and stay focused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Staying focused is another thing. Yes, we'll talk about that. yes, for men, things heat up really quick, kind of like a microwave.
And for women, it's more like a crock pot. You know, it's kind of what is said at breakfast in the morning definitely plays into what goes on that night.
For men, it's hard to distract them.
Yeah, women are easily distracted.
Yeah, check this out. She asked me, we're starting to get into it a little bit one night, and she says, did I start the dishwasher? I go, what? What the heck?
Women, you know what I mean, don't you?
A little bit later.
It's got to be going, yes.
Do you hear water running? I said, I don't care if Niagara Falls is going into our house. Come on. Let's get, like, oh, my goodness, distractions, you know? Yeah, foreplay is a means to an end.
And for women, it's lots of enjoyment in itself.
Mm-hmm. For men, there's what I would call a primary erogenous zone.
Pick a zone. Good work. Yeah.
There's many, and they change.
Yes.
Yes, and it's like Russian roulette sometimes. Okay. Yeah. Kind of like men, when it's done, it's done.
And for women, you know what? It can go on and on. It's long. It can be longer. It can be building. It can be repeating. And it can go on and on.
And
guys
40,
wish they were more
years
like
later,
women.
We still have got a long way to go to figure it all out, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do, okay. Yep. So thirdly, beyond this mutually, mutually captivating and all, we got it has to be fully protected. Fully protected. Mutually celebrated, deeply captivating, fully protected. Notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 18. May your fountain, by the way, fountain refers to your sexual capacity. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts always satisfy you. May you ever be intoxicated. One says captivated. One says drawn to her love. Your spouse has to feel safe when she or he is with you and safe when they're away from you. When you're away on a business trip, when you've gone with the kids to a tournament someplace and husband's at home working, are they safe with you? Is there healthy boundaries? Loyal no matter what the cost, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Do you have a distorted perspective from maybe your past involvement where there's been either premarital sexual activity, maybe there's been affairs, maybe you've been caught cheating and pornography and things? And I want you to know something. There's a beautiful, powerful thing happens between a couple when this sexuality is unique to the two of us and really sacred. I was 12 at a camp similar to this. It was a boys' brigade camp, and my cabin leader said this to us, and we were, at the time, it was the 7 to 12-year-old boys. And I remember him saying, men, I like that. I was 12 when he was saying men. But he said, man, I want you to know something. There's three things you never joke about. I've repeated this since I've been 12. Three things you don't joke about. Don't joke about God, don't joke about sex, and don't joke about your wife down the road. And you know what? What a great, great bit of wisdom there. Let me talk about pornography just for a moment. I currently have about 7 men that report to me every night because they're trying to come clean. Last year, I trained 123 pastors on how to counsel couples through pornography. I write for Covenant Eyes, an organization that helps men stay accountable and filters their computers. I've written 5 articles for them. And I want you to know something. Where in my generation, where there was magazines and later some videos that were available to us, you know, as an older brother might say, hey, look at what I found here, whatever. With the power of the internet and the complete wireless capability of many of the devices we have, I teach parents when we do parenting that this is pocket porn right here. 3/4 of the men that I work with, it's no longer at the home computer, the office computer, or the home private computer and Wi-Fi someplace. It's this alone. The phone has become pocket porn. You know, it's really, really interesting because the sad news is, sad it is, Covenant Eyes is, in the research has determined that the average little boy is running into pornography at age 9.5. They're running into naked pictures. They're being drawn in. I saw recent research that said as young as 7.5, kids are running into this kind of stuff. Because remember, it comes looking for you on the internet. It gets so accessible. So what happens, many of the men that I'm working with, I got a few men that are in their early 20s right now, and long before they even thought about a girlfriend, they ran into pornography at 10, 11, 12. And they got hooked on it by about 14. They get married at 24, so they got a 10-year history of pornography that has nothing to do with this beautiful bride they're marrying. It has nothing to do with her. It wouldn't matter who they married, he would have an issue to work through. What I challenge you to do, men, and I want you to know, I'm going to say men and women, because up to 30 to 35% of women now are drawn into pornography as well. And it becomes just as addicting to them. Not in the magnitude of men often, but still there. I've begun counseling women who are struggling with pornography in the last 2 years because no one in the 4 cities around us has ever worked with women battling with it. And I turned 2 pastors down 3 times before I finally said, okay, I'll take one and see what happens. And I want you to know something. It's a really complicated world we live in because it's so accessible. It's so anonymous. It's so private. It's so cheap. And now we have this unbelievable proliferation that comes out there through what we would call amateur porn, where people are throwing stuff up on YouTube just to see what kind of effects they're going to get and how many likes they get and how many viewings they're going to get. I don't get a computer printout of who's battling with this. I just know that it hurts a lot of marriages. Just 2 weeks ago, a couple came to me for the first time. 21 years married, 5 amazing kids, wonderful Christian family. He's an elder in his church. She's ready to leave him. 10 years ago, he battled pornography. He said he looked after it. And he struggled in the last 6 months or so when she found out. And she is all but done. He's one of the men reporting to me every night that he's all clear in the last 24 hours. And I'm just saying this, friends. We put in the back of our manual 10 pages on where to go from here if this is your journey. The one thing I need to tell you, men or women, break the silence in the next 24 hours about the problem. Break the silence. It'll destroy my wife. Break the silence. You'll never get close to your wife. You need to deal with it. Yeah, but what would my husband think of me if he finds out that I made a pornography? I want you to know something. You got to break the silence. You got to get some help. You got to work it through. And help is available. And there's all kinds of helps even on our website. Plus, I believe you need to get to somebody in your world to help you through it. Fully protected.
How is porn damaging to a relationship?
Yeah. What happens is early, I actually go into high schools and teach young people. I say, what porn is doing to mess up your future sex life and marriage. And here's what happens. There's early pairing of the visual stimuli of the screen, two-dimensional screen, with high arousal through masturbation. So the pairing of your sexual arousal through masturbation and this screen becomes the number one pattern. This becomes the cycle. This becomes the muscle memory if you're athletic. This becomes what becomes stimulating. Repeatedly, we find more and more cases where people, even on their honeymoon, cannot get arousal from their beautiful spouse because they've had so many years of being entrenched in this, because there's a worn neurological path. This is the path that I've got stimulation. It's this screen. Complicating it is, I'm always a hero. It's always on my terms. It's always satisfying. It's always about me. That is not good sex. That is not good sex. Good sex is understanding someone else. It's on their terms. It's growing together. It's understanding the other person. It's not about me, what I want, it all for me. I'm the hero. I'm always, you know, in your mind and fantasy. And so what happens is this becomes the default drive. This becomes the pattern. This becomes what I go for. And matter of fact, if the relationship is tough, it's so easy to go back to pornography and masturbation to satisfy, and you don't work through issues. How to do? Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah, so basically it neuters a person.
Yeah, okay. You got to understand the barriers to sexual oneness. Hebrews chapter 13 says this way. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge both the immoral and the adulterer. The sexually immoral is basically those who mess around before they're married. The adulterer is people who mess around after they're married. So basically, God wants you to live pure lives, faithful to your spouse even before you're married. And he wants to keep the marriage bed pure. Some of the barriers. First of all, it could be just your busyness. Mm-hmm. You're so busy, there's so much going on, you just don't have time.
And it could be no relationship outside the bedroom. If you're, if you don't have that time, first of all, and there's no dating, no regular times together, trust could be broken in that time too. Respect isn't evident. Why would couples want to bear themselves in this intimate way and be very vulnerable to each other?
Another barrier, I just call it ignorance. People think they know more about sexuality than they really do. Guaranteed, I could give you a sex knowledge inventory that most of you would fail unless you're a medical doctor or a nurse. When I took it the first time, I failed it. Together, we put our marks together. We got about 62%. And once you know something, what general sex knowledge you may think you know, not only do you need to grow an understanding about sexuality, but how to apply it to the person that God has given you. It's very unique to that person you're married to.
It could be insecurity about your body image, feeling undesirable. And never before in history has this been more evident than this generation, this society. Who calls the shots here as far as what we need to look like? It's Hollywood. And they put these pictures up there and say, this is what you need to look like to be desirable, to be beautiful. And the truth is, without Photoshop, not many of us could ever even come close to being like that. And nowadays, too, with just the way that our eating habits have changed, our exercise habits have changed, we're not as healthy as we can be either. And my challenge to you, both men and women, is that you work hard for your family, for yourself, for your kids, your spouse, to be healthy. Get out there and walk. Don't always drive. Watch what you eat. Eat healthy. And make sure that you're going to be around a long time for your family. The looks, don't buy it into it. Be each other's mirror. Tell each other how much you desire each other. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Don't try to be somebody you're not, but do be healthy.
Other distractions that really play havoc on a marriage beyond the pornography and things is sometimes we get flirting at the office with other people. Sometimes we get into voyeurism, which of course is, you know, watching shows about, you know, the girls next door or The Bachelor or whatever. And we get watching shows that kind of, we start running in a direction and we somehow live vicariously through other people, through novels and soap operas and sometimes it causes us to grow more dissatisfied with our spouse because we read things and it shows some kind of incompleteness in our mind about our spouse's ability to provide us enjoyment.
Another barrier is that we're tired, we're exhausted. Statistics show that 80% of people in our country are sleep deprived. Did you hear that? 80%. I'm not talking you just wake up and you feel a little bit tired. No, we're sleep deprived. And exhaustion is kind of the norm. And it causes people to withdraw from relationships, make mistakes. More abuse is evident as tempers fly. And people are sick and depressed more often. Is it any surprise to you that we're not feeling desirable or want to get involved as much as maybe we should be?
So let's look at discussion starter 13, the barriers to sexual oneness. You notice there that we've got, I think it's around 40, 45 there, that you can go through and just, all we're going to ask is just circle the ways that the sexual spark has been lost between you, and star three issues that are currently the greatest concern for you, and then what are some things that you could do? So this will be a five-minute project. Just jump in, you know, circle, star, and write a couple things down. Jump in. Let's try 5 minutes on that.
I know this feels like a downer right now. It will get better. We're going to have a lot of fun in the second half, okay? So bear with us.
Nothing.
Interesting. For as interested as people say they are about sex, you're amazingly disappointed in how little they actually talk to each other about it. I had Dr. Gary Smalley on the TV show Marriage Uncensored, and Gary and I talked about exactly this. And we actually called the show Sex, Now You're Talking. Because people don't talk. And so if nothing else, may the discussion starters actually create a discussion in this area, that because the church is notorious for being quite silent about it and not giving couples permission to talk openly about it in their marriages and even publicly like this. I mean, I want to quote again beautiful words from a now passed away gentleman, but I remember hearing it back in the early 80s when J. Allen Peterson said, we should not be ashamed to talk about what God wasn't ashamed to create. And we have to get to a point where we are free to talk about these things. So let's, first of all, let's have a look there on page 60 and 61. God's example of passionate lovers from the Song of Solomon. We're going to read this out loud. This is a collection of what the Bible says about intimacy. Would you stand with me, please? Now, what's going to happen every time it says leader one, that'll be Donalyn. Leader two will be me. And then when it says wives, join Donalyn, and husbands, then join me. And we're going to just read through what the scripture says and let it speak for itself. Go ahead, babe.
Here we go. Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. How fragrant your cologne. Your name is like its spreading fragrance. Take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom.
You're beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words.
Women, you are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words.
Men, your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine. You are my private garden, my treasure, my bride. A secluded spring, a hidden fountain. Remember, spring, fountain, garden is your sexual erogenous zones. Just remember that. Go.
My lover is mine and I am his. Blow on my garden and spread its fragrance all around. Come into your garden, my love. Taste its finest fruits.
I've entered my garden, my treasure, my bride. I gather myrrh with my spice and eat honeycomb with my honey. I drink wine with my milk.
Women, oh, lover and beloved, eat and drink. Yes, drink deeply of your love. My lover is dark and dazzling, better than 10,000 others. I am my lover's and my lover is mine.
You're beautiful, my darling. Yes, beautiful as Jerusalem. As majestic as an army with billowing banners. Turn your eyes away, for they overpower me.
I am my lover's, and he claims me as his own. When my lover looks at me, he is delighted with what he sees.
Oh, how beautiful you are. How pleasing, my love. How full of delights. You are slender as a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm tree, and I will take hold of its fruit. May your breasts be like grape clusters, and the fragrance of your breath like apples. May your kisses be as exciting as the best wine flowing gently over lips and teeth.
Women, come, my love. Let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wildflowers. There I will give you my love, new delights as well as old, which I have saved for you, my lover.
Even among countless young women, I would still choose my dove, my perfect one.
Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned.
You've captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes. You may be seated.
Can you imagine making love saying this? Might be kind of fun.
Yeah, just try reading those 8 chapters of Song of Solomon and then say, okay, God, give us permission to do what they've done. All right, good, all right. Discover each other's unique needs and desires. Men and women take distinct pathways to arrive at total oneness. Distinct pathways to arrive at total oneness. Look at this diagram. I want to explain it to you. Complete oneness in the Bible is not talking about just sexual unity, but complete oneness is a complete connection of heart, mind, soul, emotions, complete oneness. But men and women get to this in 2 different paths. On the left side, you see men who through sexual connection grow in their freedom towards emotional closeness. Women on the left side, through emotional connection and friendship and feeling loved and respected, move in their freedom towards sexual closeness. You see, what happens is they have 2 different paths to get to oneness. It doesn't take a Harvard lawyer to realize that they're rather opposite. You see? And so, frankly, when a woman says, man, is that all you think about? He says, yeah, plus the NFL starting this week. Man, all you want to do is talk, honey, for crying out loud. Guess what? Guess what's first for what, right? And got to understand here, when the Bible talks about in Romans, it's better to give than to receive. If we go over a way to meet each other's needs. I've had the unique privilege to speak to, you know, many groups like Promise Keepers, where there's, you know, 2,000 plus men in the room and all. And I say to the men, how many of you would like a great sex life that's frequent and varied and all? And of course, woo, okay. Here's the secret. Become your wife's best friend. Meet the emotional connection. When she feels cherished, valued, validated, and loved, she is secure. And in that, she'll be free. Also had the privilege of speaking at a women's conference. Rather unique. I was thankful that a man named, it wasn't Peter, but there was a sound man that was male. Otherwise, there was a little too much estrogen in the room for me. But I got to speak to the women about one thing that is very unique to you as married women. I don't know why God made it this way, but just follow with me. I will write an article about this within the next 6 months because I've never seen any written on it. But here's what I've understood. First of all, emotional needs of women. It's a good thing. Men want to meet that need. But you know what? If the man is busy at work or she wants to talk more, she can call a girlfriend. She can call her mother. She can call her sister. And her emotional needs met can a lot of different places she can have her emotional needs met. And she's not a dog breath doing it. Sexual needs. He can't go to pornography. He won't go to the girl at the office. He won't go by the strip club. He won't go. There's only one place he can go to have his sexual needs met. I'm going to talk to God about that one. Doesn't seem fair. But understand, women, that there is only one place that's God-honoring to this man to have his sexual needs met. And because this is the way God created most men. Granted, this is about a 3/4 to 1/4. We counsel women that and men too, but they come up and women say, what's wrong with me? I think I want sex more often than my husband does. That's okay, right? Because it's not really about male-female. It's about the higher desire and lower desire spouse. And it's not always the man wanting more sex, believe me. And I've actually talked about that in an article on my website. My husband is not into sex, and I explained some of the reasons why. And so I want you to know something, that this is the norm, that there's different pathways for men and women to get to real sexual unity.
So in other words, you're saying for women, the stronger the friendship, the more passionate the sex life can be. Did you hear that, men? The stronger the friendship, the more passionate the sex life can be. And women, for your husband, the more passionate the sex life, the stronger the friendship can be. So your needs will be met too. Can you imagine in marriage, as it's designed to be, if we are all coming at it in the right way, even with our own primary needs being met? Okay, so we're meeting each other's primary needs. How it doesn't become a cycle of going down. It becomes a cycle of just getting sweeter and closer because all of our needs are being met.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 there in your notes. It says this, and I'm going to quote. First of all, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only in a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Mm-hmm. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them, and provide a balanced, fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. That's true today. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality, the husband seeking to satisfy his wife's needs and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place for stand up for your own rights. No, marriage is a decision to serve the other person, whether in bed or out. Wow, couldn't be any clearer.
Number two, be a student of my spouse and ask them about their special needs. And that includes words actually coming out of your mouth, okay? Like, have a conversation about your sex life. What can we do to spice up our sex life? What can we do to make it more fun for you? What can we do to make it more satisfying for you?
Well, even the question, what do you enjoy? I remember when we were first married, I had in my mind it would be really, really kind of more romantic if she discovered what I liked. Meantime, after we were finished, in her mind, I was still frustrated. Well, it was crazy because she never, you know. But we never talked about what we each other enjoyed.
I'm thinking, you know. I thought guys liked sex. He's supposed to be happy after. Well, he's not. What's going on here? And, I mean, we didn't have a history of pornography or other partners. So we didn't have...
Didn't have baggage that way.
We didn't have baggage that way, but we didn't have a repertoire of anything to go to. It was all exploring with each other.
I grew up with such a conservative, narrow, negative background towards sexuality. I came from a hyper-conservative Baptist background that basically... I think many would say sex is really of the devil. It's too bad you have to do it to have children. Honest, that's what I grew up thinking as a kid. And yet at 15, 16, I'm thinking, man, that looks pretty. That cheerleader, I'm a football player. That cheerleader, whoo, ah. You know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm a pagan. What's wrong with me? I'm a filthy. You know what? That's how God creates us, to be drawn towards other people. But I grew up with such a negative overplay as to what sexuality was. Mm-hmm. I had to get through so much baggage about what healthy sex is. I'll tell you what, I'm not the only one here. I know. Mm-hmm. Number three. Take responsibility to understand yourself and share your sexual needs. Renew your understanding of what it is to really enjoy good sex and begin to make an effort to discover and meet your spouse's needs there. Number four, move from sexual selfishness to bringing satisfaction. That's a really powerful thing to do. Where you know, we said in the very first section, mutually celebrated. You know, I so many times I have couples in my office where the sex life, amongst other things, isn't going well. And long ago, the wife is giving up wanting to have her needs met. The guy has given up trying, and they basically relegated the fact that, well, it's just whatever. We'll just let it go, and we'll just kind of keep him happy occasionally, and that's our sex life. That's not what God intended. And so there needs to be this growing desire to bring satisfaction to your spouse.
And women, if you understand men and the way that they're made, yes, they can enjoy sex without the deep relationship at the moment. Like, you can just have a fight and they can still enjoy it. We're made a little differently. If we have a fight, it's going to take an awful big effort. But at the same time, if you can understand how much more pleasure you can bring to your husband if you're there in the moment and having fun, yeah, and participating, that'll open whole new doors for you in your own satisfaction. Because you know what? It's really, I mean, it's hard for them to know how to please us if we're not giving any hints at all. So we need to do a lot of work, because it is work sometimes to get into the moment and forget about the tap dripping and the dishwasher and the kids and, you know, all the things that occupy our minds sometimes. It is work, but it is so worth it, and it's so worth it to your husband too.
Now, Donalyn, you kind of described guys as a little Neanderthal with their knuckles dragging along the ground. Well, you did when you said, well, you can have a fight, guys, and you can, doesn't matter, you just... You see, what happens is there may have been a time in the first 4 or 5 years of marriage that the sexual preoccupation was so strong it wouldn't have mattered what had happened. I'm ready right now, and it's fine. But the older person gets, there's actually a merger of needs. And if a man doesn't feel respected and loved, if a man doesn't feel a sense of being valued back, the interest sexually will drop too. Sadly, not his interest in sex, but the interest in sex towards that person. Because he no longer wants to just have sex with somebody who doesn't want to be there, especially somebody who's hurting him. So then it gets complicated. So if we have a woodpecker wife who's constantly criticizing a husband, he could turtle into a life of privacy and pornography, or maybe get involved in an affair on the internet. I counsel many couples who meet people online. One lady left in my church, church of 4,000 there, I had three people who left their spouse in our area, moved to another city to meet a person they'd only met online, never met face-to-face, left the husband and four kids, one wife did. One lady, 25, 24 years married, left her husband and two married kids and went to another city. And you know what? There's something about this attraction that's there. We got to work on this, figure this out. Now, let's go to the next project. By the way, I will say this really, really, really clear. Look into my eyes. You will not talk about this here. You will not talk about this here in this session. You will not talk about this here. Because I'm just going to give you 90 seconds to go down and circle, and then we're going to move on. But this will create a really stimulating discussion down the road, guaranteed. Okay? So let's go into this next one here. Understanding what lights your spouse's fire. And as we do that, jump onto this next slide here. This one says it all. This one says it all. Men and women are slightly different. Honey, which style, honey? Try them all. Okay, let's keep going. Take 2 minutes, all right? Take 2 minutes. Okay. That was 93. I apologize, but this is a discussion starter, not a finisher anyway, and I got the word from the boss that we have to end by 5 minutes after 12, which gives us 6 minutes, so we're going to finish. Here we go. Creating a sex life that is good for the both of you. Accept, first of all, that your sexual intimacy is a journey. There's seasons of life. There's highs, lows. I mean, you go through pregnancies, you go through, you know, emotional setbacks, you know, you get fired from job, and all these different things do affect you, but sexual intimacy is a journey that carries on a lifetime, okay?
Number two, come to an agreement on frequency. What that does for you is it gives you something to look forward to. It's not, you're not both just kept guessing, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, and then frustration mounts when it doesn't happen, or if it happens on a night where you're not expecting it, but, in, you know, just talk about how often, how much you need.
And we have agreed. Sometimes it doesn't work in the weekly thing, but we work it with the course of a month, and we know what keeps us close and keeps us satisfied. Number three, grow your freedom in variation. And it's in your notes there, but people have asked me this question for just decades, and what is okay for the Christian for variation? Well, number one, is it biblically prohibited? There's certain things the Bible says are just out of the question. Number two, is it physically harmful? Nobody should be getting hurt. Thirdly, is it emotionally damaging? Somehow someone's being put down or whatever. Or finally, is it mutually agreed upon? If those things are in place, beyond that, there's freedom. And we need to trust each other with just enjoying that kind of freedom because those are the qualifiers.
Okay, number four, tips for a better sex life. And
yeah.
This is where it gets fun, okay? We're going to start going back to when you were dating. Do you remember the attraction? What were you doing then that you aren't doing now? you were probably flirting. And so often in our marriages and our relationships, we quit flirting. We quit having fun together. We quit... Okay, let me give you some examples of how you can flirt. Because flirting can create anticipation just to be with each other and to be fun with. How about texting your enticement? But just make sure that it's your spouse's phone, okay? And the kids don't have it for the day or something, okay? Or phone message your invitation.
And that your secretary isn't clearing your messages at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure that it's designed only for the one person that's going to get it.
Notes on the mirror, all kinds of things, but certainly flirt more. It's fun to flirt, and mm-hmm. might as well keep trying. Number two, you got to find a signal. When we were first married, we used to use the signal of lighting a candle. Oh, somebody's interested. The candle's lit. So what I do is say, good morning, honey. Go over and light the candle in the bedroom first thing in the morning. Go to kitchen, pour my cereal, and light the kitchen candle. Then I go to the bathroom, start shaving, and light the bathroom candle. Before I'd go, every candle in the house would be lit. That was my daily pattern. We didn't like both going to work, leaving the house on fire, basically. And so we had to try something else than the candle. So my wife found this amazing battery-operated candle. You just turn it at the top, and it just flickers like it's on, and that became the little signal that the battery-operated candle was going. We wore out two of these. That's good. Oh, you want to tell the story about it?
Okay, so I came up to the room one evening, and it's like, oh, Dave's already been up here. The candle's on. Okay. All right, so we have a great evening that night, and next night... come up again. It's like, wow, candle's on again. Okay, so no problem.
I'm thinking, man, she's two nights in a row. She lit the candle.
I said to him, I said, when did you come up and light the candle? I didn't even know you came upstairs. He goes, I didn't. Did you light it?
You did.
Yeah, it was our kids. Okay,
our teenage son had caught on what the candle was, and he was doing the candle thing. Oh, my goodness. Mind you, I thanked him later, frankly. Okay.
Okay,
one more funny thing. We have friends. We went away for a nice anniversary trip, and good friends, a doctor's wife, she's really caring, and they put together a care package. You know, it had some nice chocolates in it and some you know, bath salts and some lotions and some candies and a nice book to read together, kind of a how to improve your marriage thing. And in the middle of this thing, you know, candles, the whole deal, was this rock. We're not garden people. Like, I think it's supposed to be like faith, hope, and love, right? You know? So this rock, it says hope, was in this package of stuff, and it's a fake one. It's not even real. It's plastic, right? And so we're thinking, what do we do with this dang rock? I don't know.
It was too light to be a doorstop thing.
Yeah, well, but it was too light. The door would just shove it, you know, because it's just plastic. And so it was around the room for quite a while until one day I thought, oh, hope. Oh.
With the eyebrow thing
forget
going up and
down. The candles. And now the hope rock started to appear. Hey, in the shower, there's the hope rock. Open her drawers, and oh, there's the hope rock. Open her cereal box, there's the hope rock, eh? Hope rock showing up all kinds of places because the hope rock means there's hope. Maybe, honey, huh? Tonight, eh? There's hope, right? Okay, so I'm working, eh? And my secretary says, hey, someone dropped off a parcel downstairs. We're on the third floor. I said, look, I got a call coming. Would you run down and get that parcel? She ran down. It was just a little brown bag. She brought it in my office, kind of curious what it is. I said, well, open it. I don't care. She opens it, and Donald dropped the hope rock off in the bag. So my about 35, 40-year-old secretary, she said, what's that all about? Well, it was family life, so I told her. She says, oh, she says, you'll be going home early. And I said, yeah, I might as well cancel the last appointment. I'll be useless, right? But anyway, whatever it takes, right? You do your thing to have fun together.
Get your own signal, yeah. Plan ahead for time of intimacy, and that way you're both expecting it, and you're ready. For women... plan the evening. Plan a whole evening sometime. Get rid of the kids for an evening. Farm them out somewhere. And do, you know, scavenger hunt around the house. I don't care. Do meals in different rooms of the house. But plan it, because what that does is it helps you focus early, and it helps you to be ready for your husband.
Yeah, creativity counts. Variety. You got to avoid ruts. So we like suggesting things like, you know, lights on, or strobe light, or moonlight, or frankly, headlamp. Now listen, don't knock until you try it. And don't then, you laugh at me like I'm stupid.
And then you can
we
knock
got it. A good sex life, but you're laughing at my headlamp.
What do you say to that coming at you?
You know what else you can do with a headlamp? If you got a fan in the room, you attach this to that. It's going, woo, we're out in the room like this. It's really kind of fun. I think the neighbors think the Currys are whack, but I'll tell you what. We're not going to be bored in our house. No, no, no. So consider the headlamp. It's quite a helpful little tool as well.
Hygiene helps. Shave, shower, smell good for each other. Put makeup on for the night. Just do special things for each other. And make sure that your spouse knows that you are anticipating a good time.
Okay, okay. Lock the door, turn off the phones, shoot the dog. Whatever you got to do. Get privacy, okay? Get privacy. And I think maybe one other thing is, you know, we were having what I thought was a scintillating time together. It's just amazing time together. So afterwards I said, so during that time, what were you thinking about?
Sometimes it's better to lie.
You know what she said? She said, the wallpaper border is peeling. And I think we need to change it. And I'm going, I lost to the wallpaper border. I was so choked, I stripped the whole wallpaper. I repainted this thing. I put crown molding all around there. If she wants to get distracted, she's saying, my hunk put up that crown molding. That's all I'm thinking.
And then to go with all this beautiful crown molding, he went out and got a new bedroom suite for us. It worked? Yeah.
Was okay. I taken there?
No.
Yeah, whatever.
Not at all.
Okay. Let's go on here.
Okay, so number five, continue to dialogue about your sexual satisfaction. And that's, again, talking about beating the vacuum of no talking about anything. You got to talk about it. Even evaluate, discuss. How was that for you? Did you enjoy that? What could we have done different? And you know what? Sometimes one of you might say something that or suggest something that isn't comfortable for both of you. You know what? Say it. I know Dave comes up with ideas sometimes that really on the balcony, there's neighbors. So there's things like
you're
that.
You're really getting personal here, aren't you?
Well,
did you just say that?
Yes. I could say more, too.
Yeah. Nice. I'm overheating all of a sudden.
But you know what? If you are having a problem in this area, it's not just her problem or his problem. It's our problem.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you to go for help. This area is so important, and it can be such a time of celebration for the two of you. And it doesn't, I mean, being physically intimate is different for every couple. You need to do what's going to work for you, but it's got to be good for both of you. And so go for help. I really encourage you to do that.
And you know what? I know intimacy changes to somewhat over the decades, but I just think the critical thing is intimacy is for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Find a way to keep it alive. We coach couples now in the second half of marriage and have a whole section on intimacy for those who are 25-plus years married, people well up into their 50-plus years married, and we coach how to continue to keep your sex life alive. So if you're sitting here with a gap between you, just look at each other and say, this is part of a healthy marriage. Let's try to figure this out. Let's just try to figure this out. And make sure you're listening to each other. Last thing, pursue each other for a lifetime. Pursue each other for a lifetime. And basically, if there's one person that I'll chase for the rest of my life, it's the one I'm standing beside right now. Because that's who God says, chaser, lover for a lifetime. There's an amazing discussion starter there about how to improve your sexual satisfaction. We will leave it to you. We won't take time now out of respect for the program. There's a fabulous prayer about increasing passion there on page 66. Page 67 is amazing take-home project. I love it. Real sex, red hot, kind of average, mind-blowing, actually happening sex. Is a really good one to work together. If you're romantically challenged, especially some of you men, you may want to read that and understand more about that. But there's so many helpful tips in there that we want you to work through. And we want to continue to challenge you to stay in touch with us, to help you with your marriage. We have so many different ways that we can help. As I close, I'm just going to say one thing about an evaluation. On page 115, there's an evaluation there that you can simply fill out, tear out, and get back to us. Just your first name, but doesn't really matter how long you've been married. And then just take a moment to fill that out, and we'd appreciate that. I'm just going to close in prayer.
Don't forget the back flap to put the six words or so that what you want to remember and take home from this session.
Let's pray. Father, you're incredibly good, and you designed marriage, and Jesus blessed it at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and Lord, I just pray that we would have a kickin' awesome marriage, that people in our world would say, what's with those two? And that it would include the healthy, beautiful sex life too. And Lord, as complicated it is in our society to live faithful, to live true, and also to live focused on one person, Lord, I pray that you'd allow us to grow in this area. Thank you for the way these people have been thirsty listeners. Thank you for the projects that they've started. I pray, Lord, they'll have many great discussions over the years they work on this 40-plus projects. And so bless Northern Pines, Lord, and all they're doing. Thank you for the great set of couples we've met. And I pray, Lord, your hand would go before them, that they would create a legacy of strong marriages here. In the name of Jesus, amen.